and going back and forth. And we're in the book of Jude this morning. And we're going to be looking at verses 20 through verse 25. Now, most of the time when you look at the book of Jude, we spend a lot of time in the beginning of the chapter, which is great. It's dealing with apostasy. It's dealing with those that crept in unaware. It's dealing with those that are trying to teach something and try to change things the way they are, and we have to guard against it. Now, as we go throughout the book of Jude, now it's a small book, as we know. There's just one chapter, if you will. And as you go towards the end of it, what we're going to look at, we see there's some guidance, some thoughts on how we are to live our lives from here to eternity. What are we to do in the day that we're living in? What are we to do in the day that we're living in? How are we to live our lives? And here in this book of Jude, we're given some thoughts that we need to consider and ponder this morning and make sure we're doing this in our lives. We understand times are a little different in the book of Jude than now, but there's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of things that happened in the book of Jude that are happening during that time that's happening in our day and age. And so we need, there's some truths that you can help us in our lives. Jude chapter 1 and verse 20 through verse 25, I'll read those for us. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you. We ask as we open your word this morning that you would just block any distractions. As many are watching from home, the distractions are even greater than when we're in your house. And Lord, we ask that you just remove those distractions. We ask that you just let the internet work. We pray that we would just hear what you want us to hear this morning, that we can take and apply it to our hearts and to our lives and be different because of it. We pray in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Look with me again in verse number 20. But ye beloved, we see as this begins, this section begins, we see a thought here given here, who he's talking to. He's talking to those that are believers, those who are beloved, those who are loved by the writer, but also those who are loved by God. He's talking to those that have a relationship with God. Now, as we look at this chapter, he was talking and addressing them because there are some that came in and trying to change things. Now he's addressing them and says, you beloved, you that are called out, you that are saved by the blood of the Lamb, I want you to listen up. I want you to hear some important truth that you need in your lives. And let me ask each of us this morning, let's listen up. Let's listen to what we need in our lives. You see, many times as we're going through our lives and we're living our life in this world, we start off very strong. But over the course of time, because of many issues and many things that we come across, we start to stumble and we start to struggle. And there's even influences from this outside world that starts to have a pull upon us. And that's what they were concerned of in that day, what was happening. And that's what's happening in our day. As there's that outside pull that's coming. And believers are being swayed by different philosophies and different thoughts in this world today. And that's coming into their lives and it's trying to change them. It's trying to get them to see things through their eyes instead of through the eyes of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says, but ye beloved, then it gives the first step. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Anyone that's ever built something and destroyed something knows it's easier to destroy than it is to build. Now, some of you have kids, or you remember when you were a kid, you like to play with different building blocks. Now, some like the Legos, and some of us don't like the little Legos because we don't have patience for that. Some of us like the big block Legos. They're a lot easier to put together. That's the ones I can handle, I can do. And so I love to do it with the kids. And what we do is try to build the tower as tall as we can build it without it going over. And so we start building it up and using all the blocks we have and building up. But it takes time. It takes some strategy. It takes some thinking, because you can't just go a straight line, because you can't get too far. It's going to topple over. So you have to use some thinking by it. So it takes some time. And once you get it to the highest you can get it, you're sitting there and you're just in awe. But usually what happens is, if you have an animal, and a dog especially, the dog comes by and doesn't mean to on purpose, but their tail just happens to clip it just a little bit. And what happens to that tower you spent a long time building? It comes tumbling down. Building takes work. You know, many times in our Christian life, we think we can just take that magic pill and we can be what God wants us to be. We got saved and we take that magic pill and everything's good. No, building takes work. Marriage takes work. Your Christian life takes work. Raising children takes work. Anything that you're building up, anything that you're edifying, anything that you're trying to help and yourself and everyone else, it takes time and it takes work. In our area, housing has been building crazy. Even through this time, they're still building. Most of the homes take a little while to build. But it always makes me nervous when you see a few homes go up so quickly. Because you wonder, how can that house be built so much quicker than the house next door to it? It's the exact same house. You get a little nervous. And sometimes we try to take shortcuts. How many of you have ever taken a shortcut in your life? You think that's going to help you. Some of you try to take shortcuts in school, and you try to somehow get through school by the skin of your teeth, and somehow try to get through that, and you didn't really do everything you needed to do. And then you get down to it, and you realize, I got to make up stuff so I can be able to pass, so I can be able to graduate, because I haven't done what I needed. We got to build up. It says build up. But what does it tell them to build up? It says, build up your most holy faith. What does that mean, your most holy faith? It is the same faith that's mentioned in verse 3 of Jude. Look at that with me. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This faith is the faith that was once delivered. This faith is the Word of God. This faith that it's talking about building up your most holy faith is building up the Word of God in your life. It's building up the truth from God's Word. This mostly comes from God. It reveals God to us. It's how we are made righteous. It enables you to be overcomers of this world. This is the Word of God. This is what you're supposed to study to show thyself approved. This most holy faith is talking about the faith that comes from God and the teaching of the Word of God. It's talking about that which we are to be rooted and grounded in. It's talking about that which is going to sustain you and to keep you. We're to build up the most holy faith. It's talking about building up upon God's Word and all that's found in God's Word. Turn with me to Psalms 119. In verse 11. Psalms 119. In verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Go to Romans chapter 10 and look at verse 17. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can look at 2 Peter 3:18. We can look at Jeremiah 15:16. We can look at several other verses this morning. And we see the truth is this. How do we progress? How do we grow? See, the first step here is given here. We must be progressing. We must progress. That's the first step. We must be building up. We must be progressing. How do we progress? How do we grow? We got to get in the Word of God. What he's telling them here is, don't listen to the other so-called truths of this day. Listen to the truth. Build up the holy faith. Build up the truth. That is the Word of God. Build up what you know to be true. What we do many times is we start building up the world's so-called truth. The world's philosophy in our lives. You see, there are many things in our lives that we start to do that is not helping our Christian life. It's hindering our Christian life. And that day, they had those trying to teach a false doctrine, a false teaching. They had those they had to be aware of. And they said, what you're doing, though, instead of standing up against them, instead of saying that's not true, you're starting to listen to them just a little bit. What has happened to many believers today? We start to listen a little bit to this world. It is seen in how we live our lives. It is seen how we raise our children. It is seen how a husband and wife's relationship is. It is seen in how we do many things in our lives. Because we're listening instead of building up the most holy faith. We say this is what we base everything upon, the Word of God. This is our sole authority of faith and practice. This is something we say we would die for. This is something we say is so important to us. But we're not rooted in it. We're not progressing in it. We're not building up upon it. I want to say this with all love and kindness this morning. But for about 3 weeks, most of us have been in some type of stay put order. Most of us had to put things to the side and be home. Some people are able to go to work and all the different things. But let me ask you, some of you have had extra time. But how much of that extra time have you spent in the Word of God? Building up. Building up. Some of us and some of you have had extra time to do things that you want to do. Do you know they were saying that Facebook has increased 95% over the past 3 weeks than it was just the 3 weeks before that? Why? Because people have extra time. Do you know that Lowe's and Home Depot, at least in our area, is still open? I know some areas that it's not. But their sales have hit almost 300% increase in the past 3 weeks. Why? Because people have extra time to do what they deem important or they want to do. But I do not know the statistic, but I can truthfully say I do not believe for most on a whole that the Word of God has increased. How are we going to progress? How are we going to build up? How are we going to do this? Many people have had a lot of times with their family doing games and doing outside things that they're allowed to do. But how many have increased their time as a family around the Word of God? We're not building up. We're not progressing as we should. He's saying here, you must build up. Ye beloved, you who are loved by God and loved by me, I want you to hear this. You believer, listen to this. You need to be progressing in your Christian life. Not only will you see progressing, but look again in verse number 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The next step after progressing is praying. Now, we know how to pray. We know we're supposed to pray. We know all the things. We know God answers prayer. We know all this about prayer. But here is something interesting. It says praying in the Holy Ghost. And that word ghost there is the same word translated spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Ghost. This is how we ought to be praying. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit? This is the secret to effective prayer. Go to Romans chapter 8 for a minute. We'll answer this. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through verse 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Go to Ephesians with me. Ephesians. And look at chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Go back to chapter 5 of Ephesians. Look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The idea is here is we are not to give God a grocery shopping list. We are to go to God and we're to pray in adoration. We're to pray dependent upon Him, but we're to pray in the Spirit. We're to pray for His will, not our will. What He's saying is there, you need to be progressing, but you need to be praying in the Spirit. You need to be praying for God's will to be accomplished in your life. That's what He's telling us to do. And how are we filled with the Spirit? How do we know what the Spirit wants? How do we know those things? We must examine ourselves of life for all of our sin and make sure there's nothing between our soul and the Savior. We're to ask for God's will and ask God to control us. What it means to be praying in the Spirit, that your prayer is not a selfish prayer, but your prayer is a God-honoring prayer. It's a prayer that's set upon Him, that's looking upon Him. That's what we're praying for. When you and I pray, what He's saying is, when you're praying here, you're not praying for your own self here. You're praying in the Spirit of God, for God to help you to grow, the God to help you to be rooted in the Word of God, and you're praying for you to carry out the will of God. But ye, beloved, build up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. How many times are we walking around this world in our flesh, not in the Spirit? The Bible tells us that we're not to be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we feed the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. If we're going to feed the Spirit, we're going to reap life everlasting. The idea that we need to get a hold of this morning, as we're looking at how we're living, we need to be progressing, we need to pray, but we need to be praying that you and I are living that dependable, committed, yielded life to God. He says, pray in the Spirit. How many times do you and I get selfish in our day as we're going through our life? You see, if I'm in the Spirit and the Spirit's controlling me, who comes first? God should, of course. But so do others. Who comes in last place? Myself. If I'm in the Spirit, even when I'm praying, even when I'm seeking God, is the first thing that I hand God my grocery list, or do I start praying for others? Do I talk about the infirmities of others? Do I make supplication and intercession for others? Do I start praying for others? That the whole idea is praying in the Spirit. And then when it finally comes to me, what am I doing? I'm not praying for my needs. Now, I understand there's okay to do so at times. I'm not saying we can't. What I'm saying is this. Before I ever pray for my need, I need to be in the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, because my desire ought to be God's desire. And if I'm not in the Spirit and I'm praying for my desire, what am I praying for? Praying for what I want, not what God wants in my life. Let me give a thought illustration on this. I knew a person several years back that prayed that God would heal their kid. And prayed that God would heal their kid. Their kid was healed. But let me tell you, that kid was one of the most evil individuals I've ever met in the face of the earth. And I remember talking to the people one time and they said this, as much as we wanted our kid to be alive, and that kid, far as I know, never ever received the Lord as their Savior, said it might have been better that we prayed for God's will in our kid's life, not for our kid just to be alive. And how many times you prayed for something and God even gave it to you, but it's not the best for us. It's not exactly what. Why? Because we didn't pray in God's will. We prayed what we wanted. And we need to pray in the will of God. Not only do we see the thought here of praying and progressing, but look at verse 21. Keep yourself in the love of God. We see this idea of preserving. Keep yourself in the love of God. We need to recognize, how do we keep ourselves in the love of God? We need to recognize God loves you. God loves you. Well, that's so simple, preacher. That's simple. We know God loves us. But what he's telling us is keep yourself in the love of God. Remember that God loves you. Recognize God loves you. Because as you're going through your life, there's going to be another voice that tries to get in and says, God doesn't love you anymore. There's going to be another voice that gets in and says, well, because you haven't lived for him the way you should, and because you haven't done everything you should, God is pulling his love for you. Let me tell you, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And remember and recognize that God loves you. I've heard people even during this time say, oh, look at all these Christians. Oh, look how they have such fear in their lives. Look at how they're acting and how they're doing. Where's their God now? I thought their God loved them. See what their God's having them go through? Let me tell you, even through this, God still loves you and he still loves me. That's why God sent his son to that old rugged cross to die for you and to die for me. That's his love. But let me tell you, not only his love at salvation, his love to you and me each and every day of our lives, he shows his love. He's giving you the grace and the strength and the help that you need to go through this. He never promises you to keep you through things. He promises to help you through them. And I'm glad he doesn't keep us from everything, because we would not have any faith. We wouldn't be tried, we want to be purified. None of that would take place. I'm glad God allows us to go through things. But I am so glad that God loves me and I have to recognize his love. That even through the trials, even through the fire, even through the valleys, even through the hard times of life, I see his hand there to help me and to guide me and to give me all that I need. Keep yourself in the love of God. Let his love be your strength in your life. How do you keep yourself in the love of God? You need to remember. You not only need to recognize, but you need to remember all that God's done for you. You need to recognize God loves you, but you need to remember. We get to a point in our lives many times we think that things become so common, so trite in a sense, that we tend to forget that God pulled us out of the miry pit and he set our feet upon the rock. We tend to forget that we were the slaves to sin. But he paid the price and redeemed us by his blood. And bought us back. Bought us from the slave market of sin. We tend to forget We were the children of wrath and disobedience. And because by faith we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and he saved us and he redeemed us, we're no longer the children of wrath and disobedience. We're the children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Abba Father. What a change. We need to recognize and we need to remember. Sure, you and I are going through our lives, especially these past few weeks, and probably a few more weeks to come, with all the uncertainties and all that is happening and all that is going on. Never forget that God loves you. Keep yourself, guard yourself, put yourself around the love of God. Remember, he loves you. Not only do we see the preserving, we also see the pursuing. Look at verse 21. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That word looking carries the idea to expect. We are to look for his return. We're to look for him to come back. When Jesus comes for his own, he will in his mercy take us out of the world and its woes. When Jesus comes for his own, he will in his mercy take us to heaven. When Jesus comes for his own, he will in his mercy judge and reward us. When Jesus comes for his own, he will in his mercy give us a new resurrection body. What it's saying here is keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy, because God's coming back. And what a wonderful day it's going to be when our Jesus comes and raptures us up and takes us with him. And that's where we're going to see the mercy of our God. Looking for that mercy. How do we look for the mercy of our Lord's coming? Turn with me to 1 John for a moment. 1 John chapter 3. Let me read verses 1 through 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, purify himself, even as he is pure. So we're going through this life. We ought to have this idea of pursuing, looking forward to the return and the mercy that God's going to show us. And I'm glad, even in this life, that ultimate mercy is going to come. Because God has showed us that mercy. But God gives us mercy each and every day of our lives. And I'm looking forward to that time that I leave this world. And that's the ultimate mercy. But I'm glad that as I go through my Christian life, as I'm going through from here to eternity, there is mercy for my life. Not only do we see the pursuing, but I want to end with this, the participating. We see he tells them they need to participate. Look at verse 22 through verse 23. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And of some have compassion. Do you know there are some in our world today? You know what they need? Is see believers that have compassion. Now, this is kind of interesting because the beginning of the chapter says you need to contend for the faith. And you need to contend and you need to stand against. And you need to say, bless God, I'm not going to be moved. But now it comes down and says, you have to have compassion. Because even when we're contending, we still have to have compassion. We have to have love. We understand when our Savior was on this world, he was moved with compassion because he saw a multitude that were lost and needed help. What he's saying is you need to have compassion on those that have been sucked in by the false teachings of this day. You need to have compassion of some having compassion. There's some that even gone a little further. There's some people that are just on the fringe. But there's others that have gone a little deeper, a little further. There's some that even be taken in fully into this. They've even been spotted by the flesh is what the scripture says. They've even been have some of that upon them. And maybe they've done things they shouldn't have done in their lives. But you need to have compassion upon them. You see, when we look at individuals, we need to see them the way Jesus would see them, with compassion and love. He said, beloved, you need to be doing these things, but one thing you need to be doing, you need to be participating, you need to have compassion. You need to have compassion for those that have not done what you've done. What does that mean? Sometimes it's hard for us. Some of us that were saved younger in life, we don't understand how some people can do certain things that they've done in their lives. It's hard sometimes. I'll be honest with you. I've never tasted a drink in my life. I tell you, it's a struggle sometimes for me to understand why someone would even want to touch the stuff. The smell itself is enough to gag me. But I'm to have compassion. I've never struggled with myself, and I'm not saying I'm great, I'm wonderful. I've never struggled with certain other addictions that other people have. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never done those things. But my Bible and God says I need to have compassion for those that struggle with that. I can't say, well, I'm just so much better than you, because I'm not. I have my own sins too, just like everyone else. And I can't say how much greater I am. No, I got to have compassion. I may not understand because I never struggled with what they're struggling with, but I got to have compassion and say, hey, I don't understand how you've been caught up in the lies of this world and how you've been caught up with these things. I might not understand it, but I got to have compassion. I got to have love. It got to bring me to a place where I'm pouring out tears for them because I'm so concerned and I love them and I want to see them come back to Jesus. And that's the compassion that's talking about there to these individuals during that time is you need to have so much compassion. Maybe you haven't listened to the false teachers, the wolves in sheep clothing. Maybe you haven't given in to them. Maybe you know someone that has. Stop looking your nose down at them and start seeing them with a love and compassion and try to bring them back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Even some that are on the fringe. There are many people in our world, and I tell you, it's sad, but it's true. It's mainly our teenagers, that group of young people, that there a lot of them are on the fringe, not just in our church, across this world. There are many on the fringe. And maybe we need to have a little more compassion for them. Now, I tell you that I'm preaching to myself, and sometimes we got to have a little more compassion for them. We want them to just be perfect and be right, and we understand that, but we got to have compassion and understand some of the struggles, some of the things they're faced with, and some of the things they're going through, and have a compassion and love for them. Why? Not to push them away, but bring them closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see compassion for family members. Now, it's interesting. Sometimes I've had people in my office tell me, Pastor, I don't understand about my brother or my sister or this person. They lived in my house. They had the same family, the same parents, the same rules, the same thing, and they're not living for God. And I'm doing this, and I'm so much better than they are. Da, 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 da. Have compassion for them. Why don't you take some time, of course, social distancing, and take some time and try to help them, encourage them, show some compassion, show some love to them. There are those that we come in contact with through Facebook Live and through Zoom and through other things because we can't see them face to face, but we come in contact with them. We need to have compassion for them. We need to realize they need help. And to realize, I don't have the answer, but I know the one who has the answer. And to realize, because I know where to find the answer, I can have compassion to share not what I think they need to do, but I can share with them what God's Word says they need to do. And because I'm dealing with the truth and love and having compassion, I can see them come back to Jesus. You see, there's a progressing. There's a praying. There's the preserving. There's the pursuing. There's the participating. And look with me in the last two verses, we see the praising. Verse 24 through verse 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. We have a reason to praise God from here to eternity. What does it say? It says it is God who will keep us from falling or stumbling. It is God who will present us blameless before the presence of his glory. It is God who will save you. It is God who will take you to glory. We're to praise the only wise God. We're to praise the Savior. He is to receive from us all glory, majesty, dominion, and power. We're to praise him, submit to him as the absolute sovereign. We are to go before him and thank him for all that he's done and all who he is, and understand that it's God who gives us that grace. It is God who gives us that mercy. It is God who's going to be there to keep us from falling. You can't keep yourself from falling and stumbling. It's God who keeps you from stumbling and falling. You see, as I'm going through this life, when I try to do it, and I try to live right between here and eternity, and try to do that, I'm going to stumble every time. I think that's why you got to have compassion. Because compassion understands, I may not struggle what they struggle with, but I have something else that I'm struggling with. And yes, that might stumble them, but there's something in my life that might stumble me, and might cause me to fall. And just as Paul said, Paul identified himself as what? The chief of sinners. Paul realized he had not obtained, and he realized he was the chief of sinners. And I think that's what motivated Paul and what helped Paul have such a ministry and compassion for others, is because Paul realized who he really was. A wicked human being saved by the grace of God. And when you and I realize that you and I are nothing more than a wicked human being, saved by the grace of God, then we should have compassion and love for others. And realize, I can't keep myself from doing wrong, but I know one who can. I can't keep myself on the straight and narrow, if you will, but I know one who can. I can't take myself to heaven, but I know the one who can. Because I have to depend upon him. And as I'm depending upon him and I realize where this comes from, then I praise God for all he's done. And he deserves all the glory, all the honor, all the love goes to him. As I'm on this earth, I need to be progressing. I need to be praying. I need to be preserving. I need to be pursuing. I need to be participating. I need to be praising. I need to be thanking God and say, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Let's live a life as we have time on this earth that pleaseth him in all that we do. In the book of John, Jesus said, I do always those things that please my Heavenly Father. Let us strive with God's strength and God's help to do always those things that please our Heavenly Father in our lives. And let's live a life that would bring honor and glory to him. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for the few verses that we looked at in the book of Jude. And there's even more truths we could have dug out there. We thank you for the ones that you gave us this morning. Help us to glean from this. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to live a life that is pleasing to you. Lord, if there's a need in our life, if there's something that we are not doing that we should be doing, Lord, if we're not surrendered and yielded to you, if we're not praying as we should, if we're not progressing as we should, if we're not pursuing as we should, if we're not keeping ourselves in the love of God as we should, if we're not praising you as we should, Lord, just work in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, help us to surrender to you and yield our lives to you. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.